Alhamdulillah, last night in the Taraweeh, the 15th para was recited, which comprises of Surah Bani Israel and the beginning of Surah Al-Kahf. Bani Israel, the children of Israel, the children of Yaqub alayhi salatu wa salam. Another name of the surah is Surah Al-Isra. And in the first ayah, سُبْحَانَ الَّذِي أَسْرَى بِعَبْدِهِ لَيْلًا مِنَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ إِلَى الْمَسْجِدِ الْأَقْصَى, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the great journey which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on from Masjid al-Haram, from Makkah Mukarramah to Masjid al-Aqsa. And that journey is known as Isra. From there Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to the seven heavens. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then granted Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the great gift of Salah. So the journey of Isra was for the tasalli and consolement and to show the great honor and status and position of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it culminated with the gift of Salah. So Salah is a great gift that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was granted on the journey of Mi'raj, and we have it with us. And a person who will perform his salah correctly, then the salah will also become a mi'raj for him. Like how Rasulullah went physically to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will be not physically going, but spiritually we will also ascend. And we will come very close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if we make an effort in our salah and we perform our salah correctly. So we should treat salah as a great gift and bounty that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us. It's very famous that for all the other commands, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Jibreel alayhi salam, who came down onto the earth and gave the different commands. But for the gift of the five salah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on this special journey and granted Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam this great gift. So what a great gift salah is. So the first ayah is speaking about Isra. And then Bani Israel, after that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the two occasions that Allah Ta'ala had promised Bani Israel that they would cause corruption, fasad on earth. And as a result of that day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant power, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will allow certain servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who might not be chosen, might not be Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's beloved servant, but Allah Ta'ala will give them power over the Bani Israel. And in history, there were many occasions when these things did happen. Ulama have pinpointed one or two that could be meant by these ayat, where the Bani Israel, after this breaking the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala openly and causing great fasad, great corruption, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted power to certain people over them. And they entered into the Masjid, Masjid al-Aqsa, and laid waste and destroyed in certain occasions the Masjid, and killed many of the Bani Israel, took the others as their slaves. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explained that in ahsantum ahsantum li anfusikum, that if you will do good, then it will be for your own benefit. And if you do wrong, then it will be to your own harm. So from here, ulama explained that as far as Masjid al-Aqsa is concerned, Allah Ta'ala's system of dealing with Masjid al-Aqsa is based on the a'mal of the ummah. That when the a'mal will be correct, then the Masjid al-Aqsa will be in the control and will be granted to the ummah. But when the a'mal is not correct, when our actions are not correct, and there is fasad, wrongdoing, then Allah Ta'ala will not give us control over Masjid al-Aqsa. This is contrary to Baytullah, the house of Allah, Kaaba Sharif. There Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's system is different. As far as the Kaaba is concerned, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself has taken the responsibility to protect it. That's why we see when before the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when the Ashabul Fil wanted to attack the Kaaba, then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's grandfather Abdul Muttalib ordered all the Quraysh to vacate and to go out of Makkah Mukarramah. So at that time Abraha came and he also took some of the camels that belonged to Abdul Muttalib. Abdul Muttalib went and spoke to him, negotiated with him, that please release my camels that you have taken. So Abraha said, very surprising, that you're talking of these camels, I'm going to destroy this house, the Kaaba. So Abdul Muttalib said that these camels are my camels. The Kaaba had his own rug, own owner, and he will see to it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then destroyed the army of Abraha. So in terms of the Kaaba, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself will take, has taken the responsibility of protecting it. But Masjid al-Aqsa is dependent on the amal of the ummah. Then further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, مَنْ كَانَ يُرِيدُ الْعَاجِلَةَ عَجَّلْنَا لَهُ فِيهَا مَا نَشَاءُ. In this dunya, a person whose objective is the life of the dunya, Allah says, we will give him in this life, in this world, whatever we wish, to whomsoever we wish it. So a person who wants the dunya, is going to make an effort for the dunya, but Allah doesn't guarantee he'll get what he wants. Allah Ta'ala says, what we wish, how much we wish, and for whomsoever we wish, we will give them. Some people work so hard that they get very little. Other people don't do much work, but Allah has given them a lot. So dunya is muqaddar. However, Allah Ta'ala says, better than this and more important than this is the akhirah. وَمَنْ أَرَادَ الْآخِرَةِ. A person who intends, his objective, he wants the akhirah. وَسَعَى لَهَا سَعْيَهَا. And he makes an effort for the akhirah. The correct effort for the akhirah. That is, it is according to the command of Allah, done with ikhlas and sincerity. وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ. And he has iman. Then Allah Ta'ala says, such people's effort, مَشْكُورًا. Allah Ta'ala appreciates it. A person makes an effort, tries for the akhirah. Allah Ta'ala appreciates it. Allah Ta'ala will fully reward this person in the akhirah. So our objective has to be the akhirah. We have to arad al akhirah. We have to desire and want the akhirah. And just to desire and want akhirah is not sufficient. Sa'alaha sa'ya. A person has to strive, make an effort, and exert himself in order to acquire the akhirah. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains that if you want the akhirah, there are certain commands of Allah that you have to fulfill. وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ. The first is to have the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, belief in only one Allah, stay away from shirk. So Allah has commanded, do not worship anyone but Him. Secondly, وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. And be kind to parents. So Allah has joined the command of kindness of parents. Allah Ta'ala has joined us to the command of worshipping one Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala, He is our Rabb, He has created us and given us our existence. And as a means, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has then used our parents, that they are the means, the outward means for us to come into this world. So the right of parents is so great in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah explains, إِمَّا يَبْلُغَنَّ عِنْدَكَ الْكِبَرَ أَحَدُهُمَا أَوْ كِلَاهُمَا. If one of your parents or both of them reach unto old age while they are with you, then فَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفٍ. Do not say to them even uff. Uff is the lowest form of expression that a person can use to show his displeasure. So if there was any word that was lower to show displeasure, Allah Ta'ala would have mentioned that word. So meaning, don't show them any form of displeasure. Don't show any form of irritation to your parents. You know, when someone becomes old, then it's very difficult to look after them, and it becomes hard on the person. But Allah Ta'ala says, at this time, be patient and serve your parents with kindness. Don't express any form of displeasure to them. وَلَا تَنْهَرْهُمَا. Do not rebuke them. Do not speak to them harshly. وَقُلْ لَهُمَا قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا. And speak to them with honor, with great izzat. Address them with terms of honor. Speak to them with kind words, with honorable words. وَقْفِضْ لَهُمَا جَنَاحَ الذُّلِّ مِنَ الرَّحْمَةِ. And Allah Ta'ala shows that a person should go to the utmost to be kind to his parents and to show his humility and meekness in front of his parents. Allah Ta'ala says, and lower for them the wings of humility out of kindness. That is, in your heart you should have the kindness, and outwardly with your actions you should display your meekness, your humility in front of them. And وَقُلْ رَبِّ ارْحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِي صَغِيرًا. And make dua for them that, oh my Rabb, have mercy upon them as they brought me up when I was small. When we were small, we were totally weak, we couldn't do anything. Our parents brought us up, looked after us, went through so much of difficulty for us. Now you make dua for them that, oh Allah, have mercy upon them. So ulama explained that the command of Allah Ta'ala joined with was the command of being kind to parents. So the greatest command of Allah is salah. 5 times a day we have to perform salah. At least 5 times a day after salah, make this dua for your parents. رَبِّ ارْحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِي صَغِيرًا. Person should never ever leave out this dua. Always make dua for his parents. Then further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives more commands that give the grant to the relative the right that is due to them, to the poor, to the traveler. So a person is giving sadaqah to a poor person, is helping a traveler. We should never feel that this is our kindness upon them. But Allah ta'ala says, حَقَّهُ, that it is their right. So we are only fulfilling the right of them that is upon us. وَلَا تُبَذِّرْ تَبْذِيرًا. And do not squander your wealth, do not waste your wealth. إِنَّ الْمُبَذِّرِينَ كَانُوا إِخْوَانَ الشَّيَاطِينَ. Those people who are mubazirin, who waste their wealth, they are the brothers of shaitan. They do the act of shaitan. So there's two things. One is israf, that in necessary things, a person spends more and uses more than what is required, what is needed, or in permissible things. So this day is also just like by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُسْرِفِينَ. Allah doesn't like those who waste. And higher than that, is a person, the wealth which Allah ta'ala has given him, he uses it in wrong, in haram, in the disobedience of Allah. This is called tabdeer. And Allah ta'ala has mentioned such a severe warning that the person who involves himself in tabdeer, he is from the, he is the brother of shaitan. What a great warning. Allah ta'ala protect us from this. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives more command, وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا أَوْلَادَكُمْ خَشَّةَ إِمْلَاكٍ. Do not kill your children out of the fear of poverty, because we will provide for you, we will provide for them. So a person, all these modern day means and methods, family planning, etc., where a person uses different means, this goes completely against the grain and teachings of the Quran, of the Hadith also. Rasulullah SAW encouraged that we should increase our families, because Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, on the day of Qiyamah, I would like to have the largest ummah, and I would like to take pride over the other ummah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't like that a person should, it's not allowed for a person to, in previous times they would, after the child would be born, they would kill their children out of fear of poverty. Nowadays, this is a modern day method of killing through abortion, etc. So we should be very careful and abstain from such practices. Then Allah ta'ala says, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا. Do not even go close to zina, do not approach zina. Allah ta'ala didn't say, وَلَا تَزْنُوا. Don't commit zina. Allah Ta'ala said, don't go close to zina. Meaning anything that can bring a person, that can lead a person to zina, listening, thinking, touching, all of these things, a person should stay away from it. And wherever there is a possibility of zina, a person should make an effort to stay away from those places. Like how it was mentioned, that example, music, that is a stepping stone to zina. So everything that will bring a person close to zina, a person should be very careful and stay away from it. إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَاحِشًا. Because zina is a very evil, very open evil. وَسَاءَ سَبِيلًا. It's an evil way. A person, Allah has given halal means for a person to fulfill his desires, his needs, as a man. And use these ways. A person now goes everywhere. Allah Ta'ala says, سَاءَ سَبِيلًا. It's a very evil way. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives more commands. And at the end, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كُلُّ ذَلِكَ كَانَ سَيِّئُهُ عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ مَكْرُوهًا. That the evil things that were mentioned here, it is greatly disliked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ذَلِكَ مِمَّا أَوْحَى إِلَيْكَ رَبُّكَ مِنَ الْحِكْمَةِ. This is of what Allah ta'ala has revealed to you of wisdom. So all the commands of the Quran that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has explained to us, there is great wisdom in it. We should make an effort to understand the message of Quran and to implant and to bring the commands of Allah into our life. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the incident of when Shaitan was commanded, when the angels were commanded to make sajda to Adam alayhi salam, Shaitan was the angel, but he refused. And then Allah ta'ala here mentions that some of the powers that were granted to Shaitan, Allah ta'ala says, وَاسْتَفْزِزْ مَنِ اسْتَطَعْتَ مِنْهُمْ. That now, Shaitan, you can try and make an effort to lead mankind astray. Bani Adam, the children of Adam, try and lead them astray in whatever way you can. بِصَوْتِكَ. By means of your voice. The voice of Shaitan is, example, music. So use music and try and lead them astray. Nowadays, all forms of, for example, propaganda, radio, TV, etc. All of this, yeah, this is the voice of Shaitan. Person is listening to it, the voice of Shaitan, trying to lead men astray. وَأَجْرِبَ عَلَيْهِمْ بِخَيْلِكَ وَرَجِلِكَ. Mount your armies against them. Those on foot and those that are mounted. This is force. So any army that goes is fighting, oppressing against the believers. This is the army of Shaitan. Allah says, by means of force, you take men away and must lead them. وَشَارِكْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَوْلَادِ. And partner them in their wealth and in their children. Parted them in their wealth, example through riba. And we see everything now, as my husband explained, is a person is forced. He has to use the bank, he has to have a bank account. So here, Shaitan becomes a partner to a person, or through a person in his deal, in his earning. He uses, adopts wrong means. So now Shaitan has become a partner in his wealth. In your children, Shaitan becomes a partner. From small, person, people take their children, plunk them in front of the TV. Shaitan has become a partner. The child is growing up, you teaching the child 20%, 30%, 70% he is acquiring from the TV. Then you put him in school, and the education that is given to him is totally contrary to the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As a result, now Shaitan becomes a partner to the children. Wa'idhum, and make promises to them. Shaitan promises us a good future, different ways Shaitan promises us. So all of these are the effects, are the efforts that Shaitan will make to mislead Bani Adam. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then gives us consolement that inna ibadi laysa laka alayhim sultan. That my servant, O Shaitan, you will not have any control over them. So to be protected from the efforts of Shaitan, on our own we cannot do that. We have to take the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by becoming the special servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then a person will be protected from all the efforts of Shaitan. Further, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that أَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِلُّوكِ الشَّمْسِ إِلَىٰ غَسَقِ اللَّيْلِ وَقُرْآنَ الْفَجْرِ. Establish salah, 5 times salah a person should perform. And over and above that, وَمِنَ اللَّيْلِ فَتَهَجَّدْ بِهِ نَافِلَةً لَكَ. With the Qur'an, a person should wake up at night and perform tahajjud salah. For Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it was a special command for him, extra command for him, farz for him. But for us also, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is told, أَسَىٰ أَن يَبْعَثَكَ رَبُّكَ مَقَامًا مَحْمُودًا. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant you a praiseworthy station and position. Person will perform tahajjud, then a person will grant, will acquire a position of grace, a praiseworthy position in the sight of Allah. You will become very close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Surah Al-Kahf, which was also recited last night. Surah Al-Kahf means the cave. And in here, the very famous incident of the youngsters who in the time of a violent and oppressive king, they took refuge in a cave. So this surah is very, very, there's lots of virtues that have been mentioned for Surah Al-Kahf, especially with regards to the fitna of the Dajjal. So the fitna of the Dajjal, every Nabi warned his people about the Dajjal. Every Nabi that came warned his image of the Dajjal. Nabi Sassam said, but I am telling you a few things that no Nabi has told his people. And Nabi Sassam mentioned a few things about the Dajjal. So Nabi Sassam then also said that if the Dajjal has to come out while I am alive, then I will protect you, I will fight against him. But if he comes out after that, then you just read the beginning ayat of Surah Al-Kahf upon him and you will be protected. So great protection from the fitna of the Dajjal through Surah Al-Kahf. That is why we are encouraged, and we have been told that we should memorize at least the last 10 ayat, or first 10 and last 10 ayat of Surah Al-Kahf. So a person should try and memorize that, it will protect him from the Dajjal. Similarly, we should make it a habit to recite, as Hazrat explained to us, in the morning try and recite the first 10 ayat of Surah Al-Kahf. And in the night, the last 10 ayat of Surah Al-Kahf. And every Friday on the day of Jumu'ah, to read the whole Surah Al-Kahf. A person who will read Surah Al-Kahf on Jumu'ah, he will be granted a nur. This will be a nur that will protect him. All the fitnas, especially fitna of the Dajjal. And then the next Friday, we have to renew that nur. So every Friday, we should read Surah Al-Kahf. Allah Ta'ala grant us all tawfiq. So the incident of the youngster, that at that time, the king was a very oppressive king, and he used to, he was a mushrik, he used to worship other than Allah, in fact, call people to his worship, and there were all types of rites and fitnas around, and there was a festivity, a festival that was taking place. So these youngsters, they decided we can't take part in this year. So they separated themselves from the people, and they went to a cave, and they took refuge in the cave. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then sent his, Allah ta'ala made special arrangements for them, that Allah ta'ala put them to sleep for 309 years, and Allah ta'ala protected them from the king. So from here we understand that the fitnas that are taking place around, we have to go to the cave that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made for us. What is the cave? The masajid. These are the caves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Person is all, come for 5 times salah to the masjid, he'll be protected. The gatherings of the pious, being in the company of the pious, these are the caves that will protect us. Together with that, we should also make dua. The dua you mentioned here of these youngsters, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً. Oh Allah, grant us from your side your special mercy. وَهَيِّئْ لَنَا مِنْ أَمْرِنَا رَشَدًا. and make arrangements for our guidance from your side. So this dua also we should try and learn it and make it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then, well, no matter what is happening outside, things might be happening all around, but Allah ta'ala will protect the person, insulate him, insulate his heart, insulate his family, protect them from all the fitnas that are taking place outside. Then ulama has mentioned that there are certain usul and principles that derive from Surah Al-Kahf, that if a person will bring it into his life, then he will be protected from the fitna of Dajjal. وَلَا تَقُولَنَّ لِشَيْءٍ إِنِّي فَاعِلٌ ذَلِكَ غَدًا إِلَّا أَنْ يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on one occasion, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not say insha'Allah. Then Allah, the mushrikeen had asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam some questions. He said, I'll tell you tomorrow. But without saying insha'Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to teach us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stopped wahi for many days, 15 days, or up to 40 days, wahi didn't come down. Jibreel alayhi salam was not coming down. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was now getting perturbed, worried. And the mushrikeen were mocking at Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala withheld the wahi. Then when wahi came down, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down this ayah. That never ever say concerning anything that I am going to do it tomorrow, illa an yasha Allah. Except that Allah wishes. So anything a person wants to do regarding the future should always say, insha'Allah. One is we say with our tongue also. And was that also in our heart? We try and build up our yaqeen and conviction that it can't happen, I can't do it, except if Allah ta'ala wishes. I'm traveling for Umrah. But it can't happen, except illa an yasha'Allah, insha'Allah, if Allah ta'ala wishes. So what our tongue we should say, insha'Allah, and we should work also on our heart, that our heart should be convinced that everything will only happen if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes. So from this we understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we should bring Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a part of our life in every occasion. Something good happens, you say alhamdulillah. Something amazing happens, something surprising, subhanallah. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. These words should continuously be on our tongue. So all the time a person should speak about Allah, remind himself about Allah, understand he's fully in the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So anything we want to do regarding the future, we say insha'Allah. Here also, one common mistake that we make. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a hadith mentioned that make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with conviction that your dua is accepted. So when you make dua, a person should have conviction, my dua definitely will be accepted. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, don't say, Allahumma ghfirli in shi'ta. Oh Allah, forgive me in shi'ta, if you wish. So we cannot make dua, say, oh Allah, forgive me. Nobody can force Allah to forgive me. So make dua with conviction that Allah will forgive you. Don't think if you want to forgive me, forgive me. So the mistake that we make is generally when we make dua for someone. For example, we speak English, so we say, Allah give you shifa. Someone is sick, say, Allah give you shifa. And then we say, inshallah. So although we don't mean it, like our Nabi Fatim said in the hadith, in shifa, if you wish. Maybe in our terms, inshallah, is we taking it to mean, ameen. But it's going against the word of the hadith. So we should try, when you make dua for someone, instead of saying inshallah, say ameen. Allah grant you tawfiq. Not inshallah, Allah grant you tawfiq. Ameen. Allah make it easy for you. Ameen. And inshallah is when you want to do something. So we all try and do this, inshallah. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the incident, the example of two friends that were utilizing, one was using his wealth in the correct way, the other one was using his wealth in the disobedience of Allah. So the one friend is advising the other friend that whenever you come into your garden, Allah can actually make a great garden with lots of vegetation, etc. Then say, MashaAllah, la quwwata illa billah. Everything is what Allah Ta'ala wishes. There's no power in life except from Allah. So the friend, he said that, why must I say this here? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned how Allah Ta'ala destroyed the garden. So everything a person has been granted to him by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. MashaAllah, la quwwata illa billah. We should utilize it in the correct way. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the fitna of this dunya. And Allah ta'ala says, better than this dunya is good amal that a person will have. These amal will remain and stay with a person forever and forever, benefiting in the akhirah. A person should take provisions for the akhirah. Example, reading the third kalima, subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, Allah akbar. Such great reward. One of these kalimas fills the area between the heaven and the earth. So a person should increase in good amal and prepare for the akhirah. And then towards the end of the para, the incident of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was further mentioned that Musa alayhi salatu wasalam once gave a talk to the Bani Israel. Someone asked that, "Oh Musa, is there anyone more? Who is the most knowledgeable person?" Musa alayhi salatu wasalam said, "I," because he was the Nabi of Allah, so he was the most knowledgeable person. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't like that he didn't attribute it to himself. Allah ta'ala then told Musa alayhi salam, "There's someone who is more knowledgeable, one of my servants. So go and meet him." And the place was shown near the ocean. So Musa alayhi salam then undertook a journey to meet the servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is known as Khadir. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the incident at the end of the 15 juz and in the starting of the 16 juz. Inshallah, we'll speak of it tomorrow.